glad for the visitors that are among us and wish that you would feel free to worship with us and trust that the service is a blessing and encouragement to you. And for the local congregation, it's a blessing to see the support here tonight. And we just want to stand behind the ones that are joining the fellowship here by water baptism and by confession of faith. It's a wonderful privilege to be in the house of God tonight. I feel blessed to be here tonight and to witness the presence of God once again manifest among us and to anticipate the baptismal ordinance once again. It's something we do in obedience to the Word. It's not something that was in just a human invention. It's something that God commands us to do. And it's a blessing to put that to practice. We also anticipate the receiving of some new members tonight by confession of their faith. And as I was asked to preach tonight, I confess that it took a while for me to know what subject God's will was for this occasion. But after some prayer and Bible reading on Sunday evening, the title came to my mind, Faith That Will Overcome. We have been studying about faith recently in our Sunday school lessons, and I hope we're not tired of hearing about it because it is such a very, very big subject, and it would take a long time to exhaust it and possibly never could. However, we just want to look at just a little aspect of faith tonight, and that is faith that will overcome. And tonight's emphasis will probably be a bit different than what we were studying in our Sunday school lessons because that was on a different theme. But in meditating for this message, there was a question that Jesus asked in his ministry that became very real to me. And I think it deserves an answer from every honest heart here tonight. No matter what our age is, old or young, if we have a heart for God, we ought to have a desire to answer the question that Jesus gave in his ministry in Luke chapter 18, verse 8. You don't have to turn, but just think about this question. Jesus asked this question, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, if we are living when Jesus comes, that would require that faith be in us if we're going to give that question a positive answer. If we are not here when Jesus returns, if we have been called off the scene of time, that means that something that the faithful Christian people today are doing that perpetuates itself in generations to come, if God so tarries. Because Jesus asked every sincere Christian tonight, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? And so that was kind of a background thought for this thing of faith which overcomes. I verily believe tonight that we should all have an interest in answering this question personally. But now we want to go to our text. And I was really blessed by the devotional because Brother Lauren brought it out, according to your faith be it unto you. And that is an aspect of faith, and it seems like the thoughts that he shared were preparation for these thoughts tonight. I'm blessed by that. It's an encouragement to know that the Spirit of God is working in the audience tonight. But I'd like to call our attention to 1 John chapter 5, and I'd like to read the first five verses. As we think about faith that will overcome, faith that will stand the test of time, faith that is vibrant and will overcome. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1 says, Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, we're going to use this passage a little bit, but the text there, the faith that overcomes the world, and we could think about that song, encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe and veils below, let all your strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. And then it says, faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. But what kind of faith is that? How does that faith begin? And that's our question first tonight, first point. What is overcoming faith based on? What is it based on? Overcoming faith is based on God himself. The fact that God is. And we, in our Sunday school lessons a few Sundays ago, we were working right on that verse there. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we see there that if a person even remotely has the idea in his mind about God and coming to God with his need, he needs to have faith in it. Just like those men that Brother Lauren was telling us about in the Bible reading, the story he read. They had to have faith that God or Jesus could do something for them, or they would have never done anything. They would have just kept right on sitting there where they were. According to your faith, be it unto you. The fact that God is a foundational point of faith. Another thing that overcoming faith is based upon is the fact that God's word is as true and as everlasting as he himself is. That the word of God and God work together, and the one is true and the other is true, and it's everlasting. It never changes. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The idea that it's there. And it was there in the time of the apostles. And it was there in the time of the early church. And it was there in the time of the Reformation. And it's been there all these years, all the last 500 years. And it's still there. And it still stands. And it hasn't changed. In its original writings, it has not changed. And then God's word and himself are true and they're everlasting. And they stand and we have to put our faith in that if we're going to overcome. And that is why Christians throughout the ages have given their lives. They loved not their lives unto the death, because they believed in an almighty God that didn't change. And they stood for truth and gave to their last breath to defend the cause of Christ. Defend it how? By giving their own life. Because Jesus teaches us that who will keep his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake shall find it. And when God lays down those principles, that's exactly what he means. Those are true principles and they're eternal principles. A person could say a lot more about that. Second question tonight is, how is overcoming faith born in the heart of a man? How is overcoming faith born in the heart of a woman? How does it ever happen? How does it ever get started there? I invite your attention now to Romans chapter 10. How does this overcoming faith become real in somebody's life? We already looked at the fact that God is, and that his word is. And that is a basis, that is a foundation for what we're speaking of tonight, about overcoming faith. But how does it ever come from God in heaven? How does it ever get down to touch the lives of you and I? How does that happen? Romans chapter 10 is where we are now. I want to read verses 14 to 18. I love this passage. I really enjoy this passage. There's a lot in Romans chapter 10 that just got a lot of circle verses here. It's a precious passage to me, but I just want to focus on verses 14 to 18 just now. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? That's a hard question to answer, isn't it? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all believed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the end of the world. If you go back over to Psalm 19, you realize that even the stars and planets and the beautiful moon that I saw rising in the east this evening, and the way the sun moves across the sky, all of those things and civilizations that know nothing of God are aware that there's a power out there much greater than they are. And that is the reason for which early American Indians would ask forgiveness of the Great Spirit before they would cut a tree down. They felt that there was an offense to some power that's out beyond. And that awareness comes alive when people like David Zeisberger, I think was his name, would go in there and he would preach to them. And the lights would start to come on because there was a conscience within. And they hear the gospel now and they begin to connect this whole thing of an awareness of God that takes care of all this nature that we enjoy and see and depend upon. And then realize that this same God has a plan for my life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We could also say faith cometh by hearing the word of God, in essence. That's how it gets real to a person. And until we hear the word in some way or another, it is kind of like a vague, unknown something. But faith cometh by hearing the word. And there's a lot of evangelism in this chapter. And there's a lot of evangelism in verses 14 and 15. Maybe that's another sermon for another time. But the idea is that faith is born in the heart of a person by hearing the word. Number two, how is overcoming faith born in the heart of a man or woman? By realizing that this word is true for me personally. It's not just for that one over there. It's not for that little group of people that meet in a certain chapel that dress a little different than the rest of the people in the town do. Not so much that, but the very idea that this word of God, the idea that Jesus died on the cross, the very idea that these examples and these parables really mean something. And not only is it for them out there, but it's for me. And when a person comes to understand that the plan of salvation is for them, faith is born in the heart. And a person reaches out to God, Creator God, God the Lord God, they reach out to him for help. Because if God can do all these other things, he can surely do something for my condition. And we take that tiny bit of faith and put it in a great big God and see what God can do. Isn't that a blessing? How is overcoming faith born in the heart? Number three, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Here again, we could read a lot. There's a lot in this passage, but I'd just like to pick out verses 8 and verse 9. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How are you saved? How does this faith become real in your life? For by grace are ye saved. And how? Through faith. And it's not of us. It's a gift from God. Faith. Grace and faith from Jesus Christ come into my life. I believe it. I believe the word that I hear. I reach out. And I've said many times that the meaning of grace that means so much to me, and for those of you who have history here with the, probably remember Brother Paul Ebersole, and one time I heard him preaching and as a young man, and I heard him give this illustration. The grace of God is a divine hand reaching down from the high heaven. It's reaching down whenever a human being is with his hand up saying, God help me. And that's grace. When the hand of an almighty God gets a hold of the hand of a person that's in need and has them hands up. And God says, here I am. That's grace. But you don't get it if you don't have faith. We need to have that faith alive and real. It's real because it's from God. And it's as true and everlasting as he himself is. To come to an initial experience of saving faith, we need the grace of God to provide what we lack. A person doesn't know how to say the words right. They don't know how to do it. And the less understanding they have of Scripture, even less do they know what to say and do. And yet when they come to the moment of giving their hearts to God, somehow those words come forth. Jesus, save me from my sin. It's a wonderful privilege to hear someone who's never known the gospel for very long and never sat in Sunday school class to be able to kneel down with them and hear them say such words. Because it's real. The God's word is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it requires faith to believe it. But whenever that starts to act in a person's life, it is so exciting. But as we put that bit of faith in the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin, and not only us, but me from sin, what a blessing that is. To realize that the sacrifice of Christ was, yes, it was for those people that are out there too, but it was for me. And it becomes very, very personal and very real. Isn't that a blessing? We can become born again, and the living faith and life of God becomes part of my experience. The Apostle Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. When we lay that carnal nature down and we die to ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow him, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That living faith in the Son of God. And it makes a transformed life. And it is where faith that overcomes is really born. Apostle Paul, as he was preaching and speaking to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, said, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's all in this package of living, overcoming faith. Last point tonight, number 3. What are characteristics of overcoming faith? What are characteristics of overcoming faith? like to invite our attention to 1 Peter chapter 1, well-known verses. Let's just see what we have here. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Thinking about overcoming faith. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. There's a lot in these verses. I can speak from here for a while, but the thing that I was most interested in is that overcoming faith needs to become personal to me, you, and I. A characteristic of overcoming faith is that it has to be personal. These concepts and this holy God of heaven needs to be personal to you and I. I've already alluded to this, I realize, but it needs to be real in my life. It is not enough for me to ride along on the testimony of my grandfather or my great-grandpa, who may have been some man of God, or my dad for that matter, or my mom, or my great aunt. I cannot ride along in the fact that they were good Christians and they were missionaries or they were this or they were that in God's kingdom. But overcoming faith requires that it be personal in my own life, that it be real to me. It has to be that way. And sad is the person who day by day by day goes through religious exercise and tries to dress right and tries to appear right, although those things have their place and they're very in order. But depending upon that for their salvation, when what they really need is a living faith in the Lord Jesus. And somehow the faith needs to be real, so that this inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, is reserved in heaven for who? For all those other people that I mentioned? No, for you and for me. That it becomes real for us. That is so important. It's so necessary. And then we claim the promise that when we give our lives to Christ, we're kept by the power of God. How? Through faith unto salvation. And how long? Ready to be revealed in the last time. And that's the idea there, to me at least, that it can continue until my last day on earth. It just can be there. Salvation. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord, my strength. Victory in temptation and power over the works of the enemy. It can be there because of overcoming faith. I'd just like to tell a little story. Back in the time of the Russian Revolution, around the 1930s there, when Stalin was sending his men out and they were going into those Mennonite colonies, if you read any books, you realize that there was a lot of people there who had a religious form without power. There was a lot of people who, if you read a book, for instance, like Wealth to Faith, The Tear-Stained Journey, you come to realize that there was a lot of people that had religion, they had religious form, but they did not have a lot of spirituality. And as those trucks would drive into those colonies and load the men and women and young men and fathers and load them up and haul them to those concentration camps and whatever all transpired there, many people got real with God in a way that they never were real with him before. And there was a certain young man named Johann. And Johann was one of these wild young fellas that was going to live it up and do things his way. And these soldiers saw him. He said, "Sir, do you know how to drive?" They said, "Yes, you jump in this truck. You're driving this truck." So he gets in the truck to drive. The truck is now full of young men and fathers that were rounded up from a certain amount of the colony. And he's behind the wheel. And they said, "Johann, drive." And they said it in German, "Drive." And as he began to move this truck forward, the women and children come crying
And they come up and hold onto the front of the truck and try to stop the truck. And Johan says, I can't drive. These people stop me. I can't drive. And so they said, drive. And they yell at him in German again, go. And he lets the clutch out to pull ahead, and the women and children come out and hold the front of the truck again. And he says, why can't you drive? Johan said, I'm not what those people are, but I wish I was. It didn't take long for Johan Twyfs to become a born-again believer. And he became a church leader in the underground church and suffered many, many years in prison because he made it personal. This faith that was somewhere in the archives of history became real to him. And it became personal. And tonight, overcoming faith needs to be personal in your life and mine if we're going to overcome. Number two, I've already spoken about this, but it needs to be living faith. Someone has said that faith is instant action. The men we heard about in the story and devotions tonight, they needed to find the help, and they needed to put action to their words, and they followed Jesus. How did Brother Lauren tell us? They went straight into the house where Jesus was. They didn't wait for an invitation. I doubt they knocked on the door. They just went right in to where they... And the lady who touched the hem of Jesus' garment to find solution for her need, she could have continued how many more years going to doctors and doing this and doing that and who knows whatever all. But one day she said, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. There was action in there. There was something that motivated her to do what she did. Faith needs to be living. Not only personal, but needs to be living. To my limited understanding, faith is kept alive by practicing what we already know. Faith is kept alive by practicing what we already know. Also, it is of utmost importance that it is real to us and not just some history code that we can repeat or something that we know is back there somewhere. But you know, faith becomes alive when God answers a prayer that is real in my heart. When I can be able to, for instance, with one of my children say, at such and such a point in my life, we had this need, and we prayed, and God answered. And whenever we pray, and God answers, faith suddenly becomes real. It's not just something Grandpa talked about. It's not something I heard about in church on Sunday morning, but it's something that is real. It's not something I just read in a book, but it's real in my life. And that is ever so important. Living faith. Costa Rica, numbers of years ago, we had a bed with board slats on it. And the children were playing one morning and pulled the mattress off of the bed. They were playing around and maybe jumping from the bed onto the mattress. You ever see children do that? It was just kind of a little... homemade bed. It wasn't much special. So they were pulled the mattress off and laid it on the floor and were jumping from the boards of the bed onto the mattress. And as children, when they get excited and clambering up on top of this bed to jump off, one of them went right down through the boards and twisted the ankle. And I just went there. As soon as loud crying, which you could well imagine, it hurt badly. And as I was watching, that ankle got bigger and bigger and bigger. There was a 90-some-year-old man visiting me right that morning. He came by sometimes. He was high 90s. I don't even know how old he was, but he was there. He said, Virgil, calm right down. He said, this is no problem. I said, just wait. He said, I want to pray for this young man. It was one of the boys. He put his hand on that spot in that leg. And started to pray. And I watched. I did not close my eyes during that prayer. But that ankle that was swollen, it wasn't drastic, it wasn't huge, during that man's prayer, became very normal, just like the other one. That was very humiliating to see that man, where I was ready to pick up and go to a doctor, maybe chat with x-ray or something, that man's simple prayer took care of it. And it happened in front of my eyes. It's so humiliating. But faith becomes real and living in my life when it's not just a story that I heard from some book. It's not something that some inspirational speaker told a story about. It's something that's real in my life. And one way that happens among many others is when God answers a prayer. Another way that happens is whenever I have struggled against a temptation, God gives me victory on whatever subject that might be. Victory in temptation. And finally, we feel that God has answered our prayer and given us victory. And it can be many other things. But when faith becomes alive and real, then it becomes personal too. We go back to our text in 1 John chapter 5. We see that overcoming faith is obedient and commandment-keeping faith. Obedient and commandment-keeping faith. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and what? And keep his commandments. Putting our faith in the God of heaven and in his holy word. Keeping that our goal in life. That is where faith becomes overcoming faith. When it is obedient and commandment keeping. And when I learn something, possibly fasting, or something that maybe I haven't been practicing in my life, or maybe soul winning, or evangelism, or some other thing, and maybe it's something in modesty, some area where God is really speaking to me about being careful in my life, and I decide that by my faith in God's word and what it says, I want to take this very principle and put it to action in my life. Overcoming faith is obedient, commandment-keeping faith. Keep his commandments, for this is the love of God. What? That we have all kinds of expressions, and Lord, I love you, and Lord, we lift your name on high, and all these kind of wonderful songs. Is that what Jesus says here? Is that what the apostle says? I love those songs, don't get me wrong. But this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. To be obedient to the Lamb of God, which suffered and died for us, and to be obedient to the Holy Word, ought not to be grievous for the child of God. And then he says, whosoever is born of God, whoever is born again, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What? How? Even our faith. Last point tonight, as we're thinking about characteristics of overcoming faith, is an enduring faith. Through the thick and the thin, the good times and the bad times, in hours of temptation, in hours of joy and gladness, mountaintop experiences in the deepest of valleys, an enduring faith. It keeps going and keeps going and keeps persisting and keeps going forward. Sometimes the steps be slow, and sometimes we feel maybe we're not gaining anything. Maybe we feel like we're just kind of like trying to climb a stone pile or something. You don't feel like you're gaining very fast. But keep the eye on the goal and keep going upward, right? Enduring. Jesus says, he that endureth unto the end shall be saved. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith in the earth? He says, if you endure to the end, you'll be saved. Endure, endure, and it's hard. It's not easy. But I love the testimony of Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. I know these are familiar verses, but let's just see where faith is in these verses. Faith that endures. For I am ready to be offered. That's quite a word right there. I think Paul possibly had a good idea how he was going to die. He said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He could see that the end was near. The end of his ministry, the end of his preaching, the end of his earthly ministry was about done. He knew it. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith, he said. He hung on to that faith the whole way through. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. My question to us tonight is overcoming faith that you and I have going to put us among all those that love his appearing? Are you looking forward to that? That lively hope that we read about back in 1 Peter. How did it say that again? I just want to quickly catch that. Ready to be revealed in the last time. The faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Are we anticipating that? Are we looking forward to that? Do we love the appearing? Are we looking for the appearing? If we are tonight, we have overcoming faith. And if we just hope that Jesus holds off a couple years longer because I want to get married, I want to do this and I want to do that, if we're holding off on that type of stuff, want to get some more investments in, then I question if we have overcoming faith. But the one with overcoming faith tonight is the one who will endure to the end. And I trust by the grace and help of God that if we are alive when Jesus returns, that we will be among those who still have faith. And I trust that if this congregation and congregations around us who hold a biblical faith and practice, I trust that if generations yet come and go before the appearance of our Lord Jesus, I trust that there will be faith in the earth. As we think of the reason for this service tonight and the reason we are here, I trust that we have been able to catch at least a glimpse of faith that will overcome. May God add his blessing.